Chapter 1. The Science of Deduction.
It was afternoon. Holmes and I were sitting in our living room in 221B Baker Street, relaxing after our lunch.
I hate to be bored,
said Holmes suddenly. I looked over at him. Are you bored now? I asked. I myself was feeling rather content.
Yes,
he replied.
I need something to occupy my mind. That's why I have chosen my particular profession, or rather, created it, as I'm the only one in the world.
The only unofficial detective? I asked.
The only unofficial consulting detective,
he corrected me.
When Gregson or Leestrade or Athelney Jones don't know what to do, which they normally don't, then they come to me. I give them an expert opinion. I take no credit for it. It's the work itself which gives me pleasure. But there is no work at the moment, so I am bored.
I had some experience of Holmes's work in the Jefferson Hope case. I had written a small book about the case, calling it A Study in Scarlet. Sherlock Holmes did not like it. He said it was too romantic.
My name has also extended to the continent,
continued Holmes.
I was consulted last week by a French detective. He had 2 out of the 3 qualities necessary for a good detective. He has the power of observation and of deduction. He doesn't have knowledge, but that will come with experience.
But aren't observation and deduction the same thing? I asked.
Oh, no,
he answered.
For example, observation tells me that you have been to the Wigmore Street post office this morning, but deduction tells me that when you were there, you sent a telegram.
You're right, I exclaimed. But how did you know?
It's quite simple,
he laughed.
I can observe that you have some red-coloured earth on your shoe. That's observation. Just opposite the Wigmore Street post office, they are digging up the road. The earth they have dug up is the same colour, which can't be found anywhere else in the area. That is deduction.
And what about the telegram?
I knew you hadn't written a letter, because I was with you all morning. I also saw that you already have stamps and envelopes. So that only leaves one reason to go to the post office. To send a telegram.
How simple, I replied. Can you put your skills to a more difficult test?
Of course,
said Holmes.
What is it?
I gave him a watch that I had had for only a short time. What can you tell me about the character or habits of the late owner of this watch? I asked. Secretly, I wanted him to get it wrong. Sometimes his know-it-all tone became annoying. He looked at the watch for some time, opening the back and examining it carefully. He handed it back to me.
It has recently been cleaned,
he said,
which has taken away many clues.
You're right, I said. I did not think this was a very good excuse.
But I can say,
he continued,
that this watch belonged to your elder brother, who inherited it from your father.
Ah, the initials HW on the back. Right so far. Anything else? I asked.
Your brother was an untidy man and very careless. He was poor for a lot of the time, with occasional times when he had money. He finally began drinking heavily, and he died. That's all I can tell.
I felt disappointed and angry. How could he tell all that from a watch? It was all true. But I was sure that he had found out about my poor, unhappy brother from other people. You're very unkind, I said to him. Don't pretend to deduce what you have been told by others.
Dear Dr. Watson, I'm sorry,
he said.
I forgot how personal and upsetting it might be to you. But I promise that I didn't even know you had a brother until you gave me that watch.
Then how did you know these facts? You were right about everything. Holmes told me.
In England, When pawnbrokers take a watch, they scratch the number of the ticket on the watch with a pin. I noticed that there were four small numbers scratched onto the back of the watch. This means that your brother often didn't have much money, so he took the watch to a pawnbroker's four times. But then he also often had enough money to buy it back. Also, if you look at where you wind up the watch, you'll see many little scratches. This is where the key for winding it up has slipped. It slipped because he was often drunk when he went to bed and was trying to wind up his watch.
There was a knock at the door.
There's a young lady to see you, sir,
said our landlady.
A Miss Mary Morstan.
Said Holmes.
I don't know the name. Show her in. You stay as well, Doctor.
Miss Morstan entered the room. She was a young, attractive lady with blonde hair and large blue eyes. She seemed agitated.
I've come to ask for your help, Mr. Holmes,
she said.
Because you once helped my employer, Mrs. Cecil Forrester, with a small problem. She recommended you.
Yes, I think I remember,
said Holmes.
A very simple case.
She didn't think so. But you can't say the same about my case. Let me tell you about my strange situation.
Sherlock Holmes looked excited.
Tell me all about it,
he said.